Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to our service this morning. Just say a couple of things before we start the service proper. First is that Paul and Sandra aren't with us this morning because the Kettering churches are having a BMS Zooming Together service. So all three Baptist churches in Kettering are Zooming in one service, which Paul is doing the technology for. So we're hoping it all goes well. They're sort of expecting 60 or 70 people at least to all be Zooming in. And the missionaries from Chad, who are actually in the UK down in Cornwall, are Zooming in with them as well. So remember them. And just to say that Bernadette, who normally joins with us on a Sunday morning, she's unwell today, so she's not with us. So welcome to everybody. I'm leading the service this morning. We're glad you're all able to be with us today. And we're going to start with the song, Rejoice, Rejoice.
Rejoice, rejoice, Christ is in you, the hope of glory in our hearts. He lives, his breath is in you. Arise, a mighty army, we arise. Now is the time for us to march upon the land into our hands. Shall see that Christ is Lord. Rejoice, rejoice, Christ is in you, the hope of glory in our hearts. He lives, his breath is in you. Arise, a mighty army, we arise. Let's give the glory to him now. Rejoice, rejoice, Christ is in you, the hope of glory in our hearts. He lives, his breath is in you. Arise, a mighty army, we arise. Treasure is within. He turns our weaknesses into his opportunities, so that the glory goes to him. Rejoice, rejoice, Christ is in you, the hope of glory in our hearts. He lives, his breath is in you. Arise, a mighty army.
First reading this morning is from the Psalm 111, and Mary is going to read for us this morning.
Good morning. In praise of the Lord. With all my heart, I will thank the Lord in the assembly of his people. How wonderful are the things the Lord does. All who are delighted with them want to understand them. All he does is full of honour and majesty. His righteousness is eternal. The Lord does not let us forget his wonderful actions. He is kind and merciful. He provides food for those who honour him. He never forgets his covenant. He has shown his power to his people by giving them the lands of foreigners. In all he does, he is faithful and just. All his commands are dependable. They last for all time. They were given in truth and righteousness. He set his people free and made an eternal covenant with them. Holy and mighty is he. The way to become wise is to honour the Lord. He gives sound judgment to all who obey his commands. He is to be praised forever. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. Last week, Martin spoke to us about Jesus calling his disciples to follow him. And what I've got next is actually a short video which recaps that for us. For those of you on the phone, at first it is just pictures, so I'm afraid you will miss out on that. But then it does, after a little while, there are some words which we will all be able to listen to.
Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Come here after me. And I will make you to become fishers of men.
What happened next is the question. Well, on the Sabbath day following Jesus calling the disciples, they followed him into the synagogue. And Penny is now going to read to us about what happened in the synagogue on that Sabbath morning.
New Testament reading is taken from Mark. Chapter 2, verses 21 to 28, and it's entitled, Jesus Drives Out an Evil Spirit. And they came to Capernaum, and on the Sabbath he went into the synagogue and gave teaching. And they were full of wonder at his teaching, because he gave it as one having authority and not like the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he gave a cry, saying, What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to put an end to us? I see well who you are, the Holy One of God. And Jesus said to him sharply, Be quiet and come out of him. And the unclean spirit, shaking him violently and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all greatly surprised, so that they put questions to one another, saying, What is this? A new teaching? With authority, he gives orders, even to the unclean spirits, and they do what he says. And news of him went out quickly everywhere, into all parts of Galilee round about. Amen.
Thank you, Penny. They went to the synagogue, they attended the synagogue. I've got a short story now about a teacher who had a particularly mischievous student, a young girl, never wanted to listen or to pay attention. And the teacher tried reasoning with her, scolding her, bargaining with her, but nothing seemed to work. She didn't want to listen. She didn't want to pay attention. I'm sure that those of you who have been teachers have all come across this sort of student. She finally called the young girl's mother and said, "I'm at the point of no return. She's out of control." To which the mother replied, "What's the problem?" "The problem is twofold," said the teacher. "Number one, her behavior is horrendous. The second problem is she's got a perfect attendance record." Jesus went into the synagogue and he began to teach in the synagogue. We're told actually that his teaching made a great impression on them because he taught them with authority. But do we always go to church to listen? Or is attendance more important than actually what we do in church sometimes? If we're not going to church to listen to what is being said, to worship what is being said, are we sometimes doing other things? It's important that we are alert and attentive so that when we hear the teaching of Jesus, we can become spellbound like they did in that synagogue on that Sabbath morning, spellbound by the teaching of Jesus. Let us pray. Father, we know that your son Jesus did not remain a little baby, but grew in wisdom and stature, teaching in the synagogue, asking and answering questions. As followers of your son, we too wish to grow in wisdom and in the knowledge of divine truth. But we acknowledge that all too quickly after Christmas, our enthusiasm for worship and study fades. We often come to your house to be entertained rather than to be challenged. We find ourselves applying the sermons to other people rather than to ourselves. We allow ourselves to be slaves of the clock and the parking lot. Forgive our inattention to our worship experiences. Forgive us, Lord. Instill in us the desire to learn and to grow, to stretch our minds and our faith, and to grasp more completely the truths of your divine revelation. Amen. We're now going to sing our next song, "From Heaven You Came, the Servant King."
To bring our lives as a daily offering.
Today's message is that it's not just following Jesus that we're called to do, not just attendance at church, that doesn't win us any prizes. We need to get serious about Christ. Jesus, we are told in our reading today, he entered the synagogue and taught. What we also told is that there was a man possessed by an evil spirit. The service was disrupted. It didn't go smoothly. The start of Jesus's public ministry, that first service, it wasn't at first a roaring success, but Jesus quickly drove the demon out of the afflicted man and cured him, and they were all amazed. Jesus used the adversity to actually teach the people a lesson. They questioned them among themselves, asking, what is it he teaches with authority? He drove out the demon and it amazed everybody. The way he taught with authority, that is what amazed them. Jesus describes in his teachings what we need to do, but it's not an impossible dream. It's the possible dream. We must allow Christ to come into our lives at the deepest level. And there we will be astonished. We will be amazed. We will be enthralled. He will give us freedom to discover what it means to be alive, what it means to be holy, what it means to be a whole person, what it means to be a good wife, a good husband, a good child, or a good parent, what it means to be a good neighbour, what it means to be Christ's man or woman. We're told to model our life on Jesus. We've heard preachers say it over and over again, haven't we? I used that phrase just a few weeks ago. The example of modelling our lives on Jesus. But the problem many of us have is that we've only heard it on a superficial level. We've said we will try to follow his example, but have we formed Christ within us? Its body, its mind, its spirit. That's where we run into the difficulties. Countless people call themselves Christians and even come to church with regularity who don't really know the basic facts about the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. We need to know about Christ. That's what many of the people in the world are telling us. Whatever else happens in this gathering, maybe something specific will take place. Maybe we can decide right now to begin by reading the Gospels on a new level of seriousness and at least one good book on the life of Christ. And there are many that we could choose from. Because it's possible to know all about Jesus, to have a working knowledge of the model, to memorize all his teaching and still miss the point of Christian life. Because we need to know Christ. It doesn't make much sense if we don't know about Christ. But we also need to understand Christ. One of the things I do for a living is write examination questions for various professional subjects. And when you write questions, you can write knowledge questions, where you're asking people whether they can recall a fact. But then you also write questions where you ask people whether they understood the fact that they learned. Do they really understand what the knowledge they've been taught means? And then we write questions at the next level, which is, do they know how to apply what they've learned, what they know, what they understand? It's possible to know about Jesus, to understand him, but still miss the point that we have to apply Christ in our lives. And it's not just lip service, it's a way of life. So that asks the question, what does it mean to apply Christ in our lives? Well, Paul in his letters wrote often about what it meant to apply Christ. And from what he wrote, we know that applying it means to give encouragement to each other. We need to encourage each other in our Christian lives. We need to encourage each other when we know somebody has a problem or a difficulty in their life. We need to be at peace among ourselves. If we're applying Christ in our lives, it means that we're not going to be arguing and bickering with each other. We're not going to be forming into factions and cliques and everything else. We're going to be at peace with each other. We're going to be working with each other. It also means, according to Paul, that we should give courage to those who are apprehensive. There are probably more people anxious and apprehensive about life at this time than many times ever before in our lives. It's a year since the first case of coronavirus was officially diagnosed in our country. A year of anxiety, frustration. We need to give courage to each other at this time. We need to care for the weak. And caring doesn't again just mean we say, oh, I care about you, I care about that. It actually means that we do something in order to show that we do care. We understand what the weak need and we look to do what we can. Paul told us that we need to be patient with everyone. I can be patient with most people, but I'm sure, like everyone else, there are some people who we find it very hard to be patient with. We also need to turn these things around and think about them for ourselves. Do we make it difficult sometimes for people to be patient with us? Being patient with everyone also means that we need and should be making it easy for them to be patient with us. We need to make sure people not try to take revenge. How often have we been felt slighted by somebody, annoyed by somebody, and we've sometime in the future, something has happened, and we've taken pleasure in the fact that we've finally got our own back. I'm sure all of us have at times felt like that. But we should make sure that we don't. We should be thinking of what best is for each other and for our community. It's not about thinking what is best for me. It's about thinking about what is best for our neighbour, for others who are around us. Perfect attendance record or not, it's time to get serious and do these things, because this is what God expects us to do. Following Jesus isn't just about walking in his footsteps. It's about understanding his message, understanding the good news, applying it in our lives, and making sure that we enable others to apply it in their lives as well. We're going to sing again now the hymn, I Will Sing the Wondrous Story, because that is truly what we should be doing. Mark is now going to lead us in our prayers.
Good morning, everybody. Let's pray. God of love and grace, we're reminded that Jesus challenges us to love our neighbours as we love ourselves. Give us peace to turn our thoughts now away from our own concerns to a wider world of need. As the world continues to be dominated by the COVID pandemic, we continue to pray for decision makers worldwide, for them to make wise choices on our behalf. Help us to continue to have patience to obey the rules for the benefit of all. And we ask your blessing on healthcare workers and those who support them. For those who are developing and administering the vaccines. And we pray for those in hospital and their loved ones, and for those close to those who have died. Near to home, in our own fellowship, we pray for Bronwyn and her family following her dad Philip's death. And we ask the Lord to bless them. And we continue to remember Bob and Catherine in their bereavements. Lord, there's so many things going on in the world. Our focus has been on the pandemic for a year now. And we know that you take care of many other elements of our lives. Let's just be quiet for a moment or two as we bring our personal prayers to the Lord. Father God, you are our eternal strength and help in times of trouble. Grant your peace to those on our hearts and minds today, for whatever reason, and assure us of the hope we have in Jesus, our light in times of darkness. In his name we pray. Amen. So let's join in the prayer that Jesus taught us to say, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
We're now going to sing our final hymn, the hymn, Will Your Anchor Hold in the Storms of Life? In following Jesus, in doing what he calls us to do, we never need to fear the storms of life if we hold on to him who is our anchor.
Thank you.
thank God that he is our anchor in life.
I want to do that.
That when we follow him, he is with us every step of the way. And now we say the grace together. May the grace of the Lord, the love of God,
and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forevermore.
Amen. Anybody? Barbara and Andy there.
They were at the beginning.
One important notice today is that it is thanks to Reverend Francis of Faith Materi for the birth of their daughter Makina, who was born to them earlier this week, and we uphold the parents and their new daughter and give
who was that?
Lord.
Good understanding language.
And now we ask, as we usually do, is there any other notices that anybody wishes to
any other business
to us this morning? Trevor.
Just a reminder, you've said about the celebration of the birth. Just a reminder to everyone that Reverend Francis is now on paternity leave for approximately 2 weeks. I don't think they're working too rigidly to the time scale, but for approximately 2 weeks from now, he will be out of service. And the other thing, just to remind everybody, is that the Methodists will not be meeting at the pastures next Sunday, the first Sunday in February. So we will be joining you again here for the Zoom service. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other notices from anybody this morning? Not then. Then thanks, everybody, for joining with us today. Thank you for Penny and Mary for reading and Mark for leading our prayers today. And now let's go and enjoy the rest of our day today. Goodbye, everybody. It's been good to see everybody.
Bye.
Have a good day, everybody.
Bye. Who's that?
Daniel,
my friend.
Daniel.
Hi, Daniel. Barbara, was it?
Hi, Daniel. Have a good. Have a good day.